It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read the first five verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There are many things discussed in this passage. Loving God. Loving those who are begotten of God. Loving God by keeping his commandments. The commandments of God not being burdensome to us, but being a delight to us. Fighting victoriously the battle with the world. Overcoming the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Some grand truths, some grand challenges. But I want you to notice that there is one connecting element that empowers all of these great commands, empowers all of these great graces that we desire. No doubt you have probably encountered some variation of the question, if you were stranded on a desert island and you had two things that you could take with you, two possessions that you could take with you, what would you take? Sometimes that question's if you had two books or if you had two of something else, two items of food. But if you had two things, two possessions that you could take, what would you take with you? I have never heard anybody answer that question by saying, I would take my faith. You said, Brother Isaac, that's a trick. That's sort of a trick answer. Faith is not a thing like we think of things. Faith is not tangible. It's not something that we can pack in a bag or carry on our person. And yet, I want you to know, child of God, and for those of you who have never been brought to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that faith is the most precious possession that any human could ever possess. You may be thinking, no, Jesus is the most precious possession. And that's true. But Jesus is a person. And one reason that faith is so precious is because faith is our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the way that we love Jesus. Faith is the way that we trust Jesus. It is through faith that we believe that Jesus died for not just the sins of the elect, but Jesus died for my sins. And yet, faith being precious, and the reason I want to really think about faith today is because it is so precious and it is such a valuable, valuable thing, one that we cannot live without. Just to emphasize how precious it is, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's rather important, isn't it? There is no way that you or I can be pleasing in any way to God outside of our possession of faith. And yet, faith is rather mysterious, isn't it? It's not something that we can touch, reach out and touch. In fact, it is so mysterious that the very idea of the Christian possessing faith causes the scoffer to just go crazy with scoffing, right? You guys believe in creation, or you believe in Christ's death, or you believe in the afterlife, you believe in the resurrection through faith? Show me some proof. Show me some evidence. And they really fall into rolling laughter. We say our greatest proof is faith. And unashamedly say that. Yes, it is so mysterious that it causes the scoffer to scoff, and yet it is so real that very few actually deny the presence of faith. It would be like denying the presence of air. You can see the presence of faith in the activity of the people who exhibit faith, right? You know, I may not believe in your God, and I may think that what you believe is hokey, but I cannot deny your faithfulness to your faith, right? And yet, even a persistent belief or an amazing endurance of faith is not enough to really show true biblical faith, right? Because there are many who have faith in something that's not true biblical faith. You might have faith in a certain lifestyle, maybe eating greens all the time to preserve your life for a long time, and you may live your life by that belief. Or you may have a faith in a particular deity that's not the God of the Bible, and you may do amazing things. You may give your life for this deity, and yet it not be true biblical faith. In fact, it's sort of shocking that the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, that all men have not faith. Faith is not just something that belongs to humanity as something that we just possess as humans, even though people exhibit great trust and great belief and great endurance in some direction or for some thing. And yet, all men do not have faith. So what is faith? If it is our most precious possession, if it is that which enables us to love God and to love His commands and to love His children and to fight the world, what in the world is faith? I want us to think about that for a little while this morning before we get into this text. Because the text says that whosoever believeth, whosoever has faith, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And who is it that overcomes the world? It is he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The one who has faith is the one who overcomes. The one who has faith is the one who is born of God and belongs to God. So I want us to think about faith and what it is. We'll think about faith in this passage in several ways. I want to first try to describe faith for you from Scripture, and then talk about its nature, its source, its work, its activity, and its power. And we'll think about this morning and this afternoon. And by the way, one reason why this is so important is because the experience of faith and the exercise of faith in our lives is a dynamic thing. In other words, it's not static. Now, hear me out carefully. Faith that is true, God-given faith, will never be extinguished. Ever. Because it is God-given. And it is God-sustained. And it is God-completed. Praise God for that. But the exercise of faith, the experience of faith, the activity of faith, absolutely and is a dynamic experience. Faith can grow. Faith can be shrouded. Faith can become weak. And oh, child of God, if we understand what a blessing, what a powerful agent that God has given us by giving us the gift of faith, we will with all of our energy pursue faith in every activity of our lives. A continual prayer should be, Lord, increase our faith. From a human perspective, our faith rises and falls, increases and decreases based upon how we are viewing God and how we are viewing the world around us and how we are viewing ourselves and what and how much effort and energy we are giving into pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about faith, I want to do this. Sometimes it is, you know, we would like, brother, for all the concepts of Scripture to be able to be placed into a four-word descriptive sentence definition. And I'm sorry, it's just not possible with faith. Faith is not something that we can translate or correlate to anything else in this world. It is a heavenly gift. It is supernatural. It comes from God. It is not human made. It's not like something that we can juxtapose upon something else. It's sort of like this. It's not sort of like anything. It's more than whatever you are thinking of. And so usually when people talk about faith, the sort of the simple definition or the first place we would go is to say, faith is belief. And that's true. Faith is belief. But it's more than just belief, as we're going to see here in the Scriptures. So what is faith? Well, let's try to begin to describe faith by talking about what true or where true biblical God-given faith is directed. So in other words, when we talk about faith in Scripture, we're talking about faith as a gift of God. We're talking about faith that is placed upon the person of Jesus Christ. That's incredibly important. The object of faith is Jesus Christ. True faith is centered upon Jesus Christ. It's Christ that we have faith in. It is the one who came to this earth 2,000 years ago and presented himself as being the Son of God. It is the one who went to the cross. We believe by faith that when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus died and he was not dying for his own sins. Or put it a different way, as every human has ever died, you can trace back the source or the reason for their death ultimately to sin, right? So everybody who has ever died dies because of sin. And you go, well, Brother Isaac, people die of cancer, people die of car wrecks, and people die of things that are outside the control. That's right, but they would never die if they were not mortal. Mortality comes because of the presence of sin in our lives. And it's not just death, it's aging. You can see the presence of sin everywhere. But Jesus, as the one who was sent from God, yes, he died, but he didn't die because in himself he had the presence of sin that would cause him to become immortal. He didn't have a sin nature. But Jesus died, we believe by faith, because he took upon his own person not his sins, but the sins of others. Jesus died as a substitute in the place of those who deserved to die for their own sins. So yes, Jesus also died because of sin, but not his own sins. Jesus died as a ransom, as a substitute for the sins of God's elect. By faith, we believe that. By faith, we believe that Jesus died not just for sins, but Jesus died for my sins. Faith is a personal connection to Jesus as the Savior of my sins, as my Redeemer. True faith God-given faith makes a personal connection with Jesus as a Savior of my sins. Then faith looks to Jesus as the victor over sin and over death and over, ultimately, the grave, which we also will reside within. Faith says Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus rose the third day from the grave. And when Jesus rose the third day from the grave, it is evidence to me that I will also rise from the grave, and I will be clothed with an immortal flesh, an immortal, to be joined to my immortal soul, and I will stand justified before the presence of the judge of all the earth. And I shall dwell with Christ forever. Faith looks to Christ as the Savior. Faith looks to Christ as the victor. Faith looks to Christ as the Lord over my life. Right? Because Christ, you saved me. Because Christ, you have given me hope. Christ, you also are not just the Creator, but you are the Lord over my life. So let's put some words to go with that. Faith is belief in the historical facts that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Bible, and faith believes that this is for me. So faith is belief. Faith is a confidence. It's a completely convinced. Faith is completely confident in Jesus Christ. I am confident that Christ satisfied the wrath for my sins. I am confident that Christ satisfied all the requirements of God's law for me. I am confident that Jesus truly is the Son of God. I am confident that he is and was the Messiah sent from God. I am confident that Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. Faith is completely confident in the person, the work, the teachings, and the character of Jesus Christ. And so because faith is confident in those things, faith then trusts in Jesus Christ. By faith, we trust him. In fact, it's more than belief. Let me just back up for a moment to talk about just bare belief. A person can believe something, faith, but may later come to discover that their beliefs were misplaced. I may believe that if I eat kale every meal across my life, I will live forever. But after about 2 weeks, I'm going to come to a different belief. Right? Or faith may believe something. It truly might be true that kale would be good for me to eat 2 meals a day. But I have no power over. Right? I don't want to eat kale 2 meals a day. Understand? We can believe something. We can be convinced of something, but that thing have no transforming power over our lives. Faith is not like that. See, the scriptures say in James 2, the devils give assent to the historical reality that Jesus was the Son of God. They know it. Person in the pew, you may have confidence. You were taught by your parents. Maybe you have done some research and you believe the evidence that Jesus really lived. And you say, you know what? I think he probably was the Son of God. But it have no powerful impact in your life. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is more than just belief. It's more than just assent to historical facts. But the nature of faith is that faith, the person of faith, then gives himself over to the object of faith. He trusts Jesus Christ. He submits to Jesus Christ. Jesus said that, right, in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall what? They shall come to me. They're coming to me. They're coming to me as being the Lord. They're coming to me as being the Savior. They're coming to me as being the Messiah. They come to me and they lay down themselves before me and they worship me. They give their lives to me. They trust me. That's true biblical faith. Now listen, in all these things, confidence, submission, conviction, trust, belief, all these things come to us through a spiritual apprehension. What do I mean by that? Well, it sort of relates to the whole idea of bare belief in historical faith. This grace of faith does not come to us by our own intellect figuring out that this is real and that this is a good commodity to have and I better walk by faith. It never has once and it never will again. These things are known by spiritual apprehension. That's what Jesus is getting at when he's talking to Thomas. Remember when Thomas came to Christ and or was there and Christ came to Thomas actually and Thomas was not sure if Christ, he couldn't imagine that Christ had actually come out of the grave alive. So Thomas said those words, if you show me, these holes, I saw those nails go through his hands. I saw that spear go through his side. I know he was dead. So if you show me him walking, and you show me those holes, and I put my finger through them to verify it's not just some kind of a optical illusion, I will then believe. So Jesus appears to Thomas and says, have at it. Put your finger forward and put it into my hand. Stick your hand in my side. And Thomas melts before the Lord God. What a beautiful scene. Jesus proved to Thomas by appearing to Thomas that I am the Son of God. I am risen from the grave. I am the victorious Lord over death. And Thomas melts and he says, my Lord and my God. What a beautiful statement of faith. I believe you. I'm convinced. I'll follow you. Faith. And never forget what Jesus said. Thomas, you're blessed. You're so blessed because you believe. And he says this, Thomas, blessed are those who will not see or have not seen and yet believe. In other words, brothers and sisters, Jesus is making the point that the nature of faith God gives his children is that there is not some sort of external proof that the senses that we have, our natural senses, our physical senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, can see and perceive and say, yes, it's true, it's been proven to me. But instead, God himself comes to our hearts and he changes the heart to where he is not standing upon the on the stand to be judged, right? You must prove this to my senses. But instead, spiritually, he convinces us by giving us spiritual life that Jesus truly is all he claimed to be and that we have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just bare belief. Now, notice something else about faith in Scripture. It's belief, it's trust, it's all these things. According to the Scriptures, faith is that which connects us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are connected to the Christ. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. I don't mean that we're connected to Christ eternally. Well, even that's hard. That's going to be confusing to say it that way. Let me say it this way. Our connection to Christ is because God connected us to Christ. eternally before the world began through the gift of election. So that there is a sense that is absolutely true that we, that Christ has stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That we have stood eternally adopted into the family of God through God's purpose and grace in Christ before the world began. That we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy without blame before Him in love. That Christ, as it were, was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, so that we, in a very real sense, have never been seen outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet it's also true that we, as we live in this life, are by nature the children of wrath, even as others, and we stand at enmity with God. That there's a great gulf between God and man that no man can bridge, and that God alone can bridge that gap between Him and man, and God has done that by giving us the gift of faith. So that all the graces that we have in Jesus Christ, we come to enjoy, we come to experience, they become real in our lives through the gift of faith. You see, it's more than just a belief, it's connection. Jesus said Himself in John chapter 17, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." The beauty of faith is that it's not just an impersonal rope that ties us to God, but the beauty of faith is that it is an intimate connection with a person. It's fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that the one that we were united with in eternity past, we are now in a very real and vital, a practical way. We are united to His Son so that we know the Son of God, and He knows in us, and we are able to abide in Him, and He abides in us, and we trust Him, and He fellowships us, and He gives us grace, and He renews our hope, and He gives us strength, and He convicts us of sin, and all the things that we stand in if we are not separated from Christ, but we are joined to Christ through faith, God giving us faith. It's a personal union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul would say it this way in Romans 5:1, "Therefore being justified by faith." You go, "Wait a minute, I thought we were just before the world began." Well, in a sense, we were. But in a sense, we were not too, right? We don't stand just. There has never been one person who stood just before God, standing in his own works, standing in his own righteousness, standing in his own goodness, in his own report card. But there have been a lot of people who have stood just before God, and it's always been in the atmosphere of faith. "Nothing in my hands I bring. Not the works of my hands, not the labor that I've done, not the prayers that I've prayed, not the good that I am. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling." Brothers and sisters, it is God who gives us the faith to cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that sinners stand just before God, not because of where they are, but because God has united them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would say in Galatians 3:26, "We were all the children of God by faith." Friends, we were the children of God, as Galatians 4 teaches us. We're the children of God. So Paul's not contradicting himself. He says in Galatians 4, we were the children of God before we ever came to know God. Praise God for that, by the way. Friends, we were not children of God in practice, were we? We were not children of God by experience. There's no desire for God, no love for God. But God changed that. God changed that when He brought us to the Lord Jesus Christ and connected it to Him by faith. Friends, all the graces that are ours by promise, we can read Ephesians 1, read all those beautiful things that we have in Christ, but none of those become ours in reality, I put it that way. None of those become ours in a living way until God gives us the gift of faith. So that Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So faith connects us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is faith a connection to Christ, but faith is foundational to everything that we are and all that we believe. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders that will be mentioned in this chapter later, people like Noah and Abraham and Moses and Rahab and Sarah and Gideon and those unnamed people who even went to the death, they obtained a good report in the sight of God through faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I want you to notice these three verses, a couple of things that are so powerful. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. The word substance there really means the foundation. Why do you hope that your body, which will go back to dust, what reason do you have to think that your decomposed body will reintegrate and enliven itself in a greater way than ever known in this life? It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? How do you know? What's the foundation for that belief? The foundation for that belief is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ said that would happen. It's the evidence. I love how stubborn that faith looks here, right? It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, for an unbeliever, this is like banging your head against the wall continually. Show me some evidence. And you point to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus said, if I rise, you shall rise. Therefore, I'll rise from the grave. He goes, what are you talking about? You weren't even there. And you say, by faith I was. By faith, I believe the words of Jesus are true. And by faith, I believe that I also shall rise from the grave. It's the evidence of things I've never seen. Now, friends, that is a bit ridiculous, isn't it? To the natural mind. Show me, prove it to me. And the Christian says, this is my foundation. I believe Jesus. I trust Jesus. Jesus. My confidence is in Jesus. Now, verse 3 says it goes even further. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What is this telling us? It's telling us it's not just things that we believe will happen in the future, but the Christians, the faithful person, our whole world view is based upon faith in Jesus Christ. Now that is what causes trouble in the world. Our whole world view, everything we believe, everything we stand for, all the decisions we make, and the hopes that we have for the future, they're all in what we think is right, what we think is wrong, what we think is true, what we think is not true, what we think is wise and not wise. It all is built upon faith. It all comes from the bare truth that we believe that Jesus is the way. He's the truth and he's the life. So ultimately, it goes back to the Word of God. Because our faith is in Jesus, this is His Word, and so our faith resides upon Jesus through His Word. Now, I want to show you a place in Scripture, Psalm 69, where this is so stark. and so true. This is the nature of faith. How foundational this is. It's more foundational than you and I even realize. Listen to David in Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. I'll stop right there. Here's the scene. I am standing in a storm, and the water is up to my nose. I am crying. I am terrified. I am in, as it were, quicksand. It's pulling me down. Now imagine that. It's a scary, terrifying scene. What would you do if you were there? Well, let me tell you what you would do if you were there, if God has given you faith. Listen to what David says. I sink in deep mire. There is no standing. I am coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Isn't that something? I can't see how we're ever going to get out of this. My throat is dried. My eyes fail. So I've lost sight of any sort of escape. And yet all the while, I am waiting for my God. Now, it's not saying he's not trying to get out. Wisdom says you try to get out of the storm. But he's tried, and his feet are stuck. He can't move. And yet, even as his eyes fail, there's a part of him that is waiting for his God. What is that? It's faith. Brothers and sisters, if you have been given the gift of faith, that's a description of the way you live. If you were to look at your, if you examine yourself closely enough, brother, I don't know if I do or not. I just flail around. I try to beat the water away. Yeah, and all the while, you're also crying out to your God, Lord, save. Lord, help. Lord, I don't see. Lord, there's no way. Lord, I'm hopeless. But the reality is, if you've been given the gift of faith, that's not all you cry. Because the very foundation of everything you believe is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My whole worldview, from the creation to the resurrection, my whole worldview is built upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Let's think now for a few minutes about its source. We've alluded to this, but it's absolutely essential we understand this. This is where the Christian world oftentimes gets this so wrong. Friends, we describe faith in some amazing ways today. Faith is it's truly amazing, right? It's supernatural. And yet, it is often in the religious world sort of trivialized and marginalized and cheapened to be something less than supernatural. And so let's look at 1 John 5, verse 1 again to see where this faith comes from and how it comes to a child of God. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, most of the religious world takes this verse and says, well, this is clear. If you believe, then you will be born of God. If you have faith, then you'll be born again. If you trust God, if you believe in Christ, then you'll have victory that overcomes the world. Well, brothers and sisters, if faith is that easily attained, if faith is that really, if faith is that common, if faith can be purchased or just grabbed, then all the things I've just said about faith are not very meaningful, are they? You know, again, you can believe something, but not have very much power in your life, right? You can believe something, but the moment it begins to hurt, that belief just sort of goes out the window, right? I can believe that it's good for me to run 3 miles, but the moment my side starts hurting, that belief might not be too impactful in my thinking. If faith is just human, it's not irrefutable evidence. If faith is just human, it's not a very good foundation. It might be wrong. If faith is just human, it's not very powerful. So what is this verse saying? Well, the rest of Scripture will agree with this, but I love how that sometimes just studying the tenses of verbs can be so powerful. Listen to what it says. Whosoever believeth, that word believeth is present tense. Whosoever is believing right now, whosoever is believing presently. So today, are you believing presently? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your faith look to Jesus Christ? Are your prayers directed to Christ as the Savior and Christ as the Deliverer and Christ as the one who answers? If you are there, it's not because you decided that would be a good idea. Whosoever believeth presently that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now the verb is born is in the past perfect tense. What is that? That means something that occurred in the past that has present and will have ongoing effects in your life. What a beautiful thought. Are you believing today? Are you trusting today? Are you looking to God today? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And by the way, believe is not just, yeah, I think that probably happened. Believe is, I am casting myself upon this hope that Jesus is the Christ. If you are, it's because you, in the past, were born of God. So what comes first is very important, right? Because if belief comes first, it's not very powerful. Any of us can have it or lose it. But if belief comes second, if belief is a result of a supernatural work that only God can do, then belief itself is supernatural and will not leave. And praise God, that's what faith is in Scripture. Faith is something that will not perish. It will not go away because of its origin. Its origin is in God and God alone. God gives us faith. God unites us to Christ. God changes our hearts. God saves in God alone. Hebrews 12 says that Jesus, that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the one who wrote it into being. He's the one who began it. He's the one who created our faith. We believe because we have been born again. Never, ever, ever forget that. If you have faith, the reason it will not fail, even though you will be convinced at times that it will fail, the reason it will not fail is because it is not a cheap commodity that wears out. But it is a God-given, God-created connection that he maintains. By the way, this could also be sort of sobering, because as faithful parents, we try to raise our children and nurture the admonition of the Lord, and we just sort of think in our mind somehow that if we just do the right things, that our children will turn out the right way and they'll believe like we believe. And sometimes we are surprised because, you know, they're not just acting the way that we think they ought to act. And we think, well, what's wrong? We just got to do some more convincing. And the reality is at times, brothers and sisters, it may be that they don't have faith. And that turns us from our ability to, in fact, it should be relieving in some ways. Sometimes parents can put undue pressure on themselves and feel unduly guilty when their children are not reacting and responding and living the way that you would pray they would live. And while we are called to be faithful and to teach truth and to hold them accountable, to discipline them, brothers and sisters, we must remember that faith is supernatural and we cannot give faith. We can make them obey to a certain age, but we cannot make them love God's commands. What a blessing faith is. What a gift. Well, let's continue on for a couple more minutes and then we'll work on this more this afternoon. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that is begotten of him. Just very quickly, what is the nature of faith? And let me just say it this way. The nature of faith is that faith is alive. Faith is alive. It's active. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Peter would say it this way. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively. The word lively, that means living. A living, alive, active, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What does God do when he gives us faith? He creates a living faith with a living hope that is kept by his power through the faith that he's given us to unto salvation. It's alive. It's not dead. James makes this point over and over again. He would say again, the devils believe but has no powerful impact upon their lives. They don't turn. They tremble, but they don't turn. So he says, show me your faith. Show me the reality of your faith. If your faith is there, it will be alive. Now we've already said it can increase, it can decrease, but it will not die. Faith is alive, a lively hope. Galatians 5 verse 6 says it this way, that faith worketh by love. Faith is alive. And how do we see faith? We see faith because faith energizes all the graces that God has called us to live out. So faith works out love, as we'll see this afternoon. Faith energizes love. Faith is the fuel of all spiritual graces. Now, let me just give you a preview this afternoon. Here's what John would say about faith. He's emphasizing in this passage the activity of faith, the strength of faith, the power of faith, and the life, the liveliness of faith. And the first thing he says is that through faith we come to love God, but not just love God. We come to love those who are born of God. We come to love one another. You see, you might say, you know, I love potatoes. I love potatoes. I love the idea of potatoes. Now, let me be careful to clarify. I don't love mashed potatoes. And I don't love baked potatoes. And I don't love boiled potatoes. That really grosses me out. And I don't love fried potatoes. I don't love potatoes in casserole. And I don't love potatoes by themselves or with meat. And I really can't stand the smell of potatoes. But I love potatoes. And you would say, and you would be right to say, how? How do you love potatoes? And you might answer, well, I love the idea of potatoes. And so what John would tell us is, here's the reality about faith. Faith, God gives you faith that you might love God. And when you love God, you don't just love the idea of God,
But you love the things that God loves. And you love the people that look like God to some degree. And you love the ways of God. And you love to edify and encourage the people who God loves. So let's close that way. We may have a room full of people that say, I love God. I even love people. But do you love people, the people of God, to the point that you would never draw them away from God? Do you love the people of God that so much that it would cause you great grief to know that you had discouraged them or offended them or even caused them to sin? Do you love the people of God so much that you want to lead them as they walk with you, that you want to walk right through the paths that God has trod for you? Friends, this is the proof of faith. We have already heard that faith is the most precious possession we've ever been given by God. It's not our own. It's not self-conceived. It trusts, it believes, it endures. And yet it must be genuine, right? And the genuine nature of faith is it loves God and it loves his people. It's not just the idea of potatoes. But it loves mashed potatoes and it loves fried potatoes and it loves boiled potatoes and it loves baked potatoes and it loves potatoes in the casserole and potatoes with meat and loves potatoes in every way because it's potatoes. Faith loves the people of God. Faith will endure for the people of God. Faith will work for the people of God because faith, the person who has faith has been brought to know and love God himself. And it's in loving God and loving his people that we find victory. Victory that overcomes the world.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.